Good morning, everyone. Welcome to SBFM Radio. I'm still talking about the election, as well as Measure HH. We have a big fight going on here in Oakland pertaining to Measure HH, which is called a soda tax. And I'm going to read something here that I received in the mail, some of the propaganda. And if you wish more information after I give you the information that I'm about to give you, you can go to OaklandGroceryTaxFacts.org. They sent me something that's very interesting here. I circled 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 items that I already thought we were paying taxes on. I'll double check later. But anyway, they have 6 items on here. I don't know if they intended to put that on there to let us know that we're going to be paying taxes not on those items, but the other items that I'm getting ready to mention. Now, this is what they say that will be taxed in the grocery area: milk, bread, eggs, cereal, apples, fish, hamburger, potato chips, mac and cheese, cookies, cheese, rice, broccoli, juice, chocolate, bacon, and carrots. But on that same list, they have these 6 items: toothpaste, soap, paper towels, deodorant, shampoo, lotion. Now, I was under the impression that we already paid taxes on those things. I'm not positive since it's on this list. But I do know the other items are considered groceries. And if this is a grocery tax, then those will be taxed too. Has everyone received their sample ballot and then the official information guide? I won't be going into that until next week, but I want you to have yours available when we go through it. I'm going to read next week what the official voter's guide say about what we're calling the grocery tax. But I'm going to read something from this propaganda that I received. After they had done that whole list that I read off to you, then they have a grocery cart there, and it says, anything else in your grocery cart can be taxed. Now, the facts show Measure HH is a tax on our groceries. Don't be fooled by the politicians who can spend the proceeds of the new tax on anything they want. Get the facts for yourself at OaklandGroceryTaxFacts.org. When you do your research, you will see that Measure HH is not a tax on sodas, but a tax on distributors like your local corner grocery store, who can then pass on the tax to any item in their stores. And then, of course, that means it feeds down to the customer. Now, what I've been doing is, because I started noticing a number of things about the receipts we receive when we go and we buy things out of stores, I decided, you know, to keep a lot of receipts and do some research. Now, one of the things I noticed that I didn't used to notice these kinds of things until, you know, there's going to be some changes. I really don't start looking at these things. So I'm guilty as everybody else. But what I decided to do is I remember when the maximum tax was 9.75. I'm going to go back to some of my old receipts to see if I have. I think I once ran into a 9.75. If you notice on your receipts, you have the total tax amount, but it doesn't tell you the tax rate. Only a few people do that, and so far I've only run into one that gave me the actual tax rate. So what I've been doing is calculating them myself, what the taxes are. And this requires a little math, just basic math, people, which you need to know how to do this anyway. But what you do is you take any receipt you have from any store. Now, I'm doing this with a number of different stores. I have Smart and Final, Food Max. I even have Taco Bell, the Dollar Tree store, Home Depot. I have all of those types, as well as Dee's and Ghazali's Market. Well, what I decided to do is really look through these receipts. Now, I had to calculate most of the tax rate myself because they don't show what the tax rate is. Now, Ghazali's has their tax rate on there. And see, I got two receipts from Ghazali's. They have a meat market in the back, and the supermarket is in the front. So what I did is I studied these receipts. Now, the one from the meat market doesn't have any taxes on it. I bought beef stew meat. What does that stand? Meat, beef stew meat. I bought some chicken. All of this here is different, but it was all meats. I'll put it that way. And of course, they don't show no taxes on that. But when I went to Ghazali's supermarket part, there is a tax. And it shows the tax rate as 9.5%. Now, that's 9.5% on everything that's taxable. Now, how I determine what the average tax rate, okay, just the average tax rate, what you do is you divide the total amount, the subtotal, they usually call it, into the taxes that you actually paid. Now, I'm going to do Ghazali's for you and let you see how it works. You start off with the average. Don't care about what the items are. See what your average tax rate is. So what I'm going to do is the tax that was paid was $4.84. And the subtotal was $79.57. So I'm going to divide that $4.84 by the $79.57. For those of you that remember some of your basic math in school, you know in order to get a percentage, you have to divide a bigger number into a smaller number, basically. That's basically it. And so that's what I'm doing. And what it is saying is that it's 6% is the average. So that means that everything on this list was not included in the taxes. Now, let's see. I have beer, and the rest is food. And if you subtract the beer from the total amount, okay, of what was spent, or you can take the beer amount and see if you can calculate if it comes out to be 9.5%. Now, I have already done one, let's see here, that I've done a number of them that don't already tell you 9.5%. It appears that a lot of our stores, after calculating, it comes out to be 9.5%. So we have a population of stores that are charging 9.5%. Smart and Final was one that I calculated. And let's see, do I have any non-taxable items in here? It looks like they all are taxable. Angelo's. Okay, let's see if I just do a basic one. Okay, my total was $83.71 after they add the taxes. But you want to know what percentage were you charged on your taxes. The subtotal was $80.74. The tax amount is $2.97. Let's see how that comes out. $2.97 divided by $80.74. This is the average taxes equals. Okay, we're dealing with 4%. So I have evidently some stuff on here that's taxable because this is food items. Let me make sure I did the math right. $2.97 divided by $80.74 equals almost 4%. So let's see. I did on the back of these receipts the non-grocery items, okay? And there were non-grocery items on here. And, okay, $16.99 was what? That bathroom tissue, I bought a whole case of that. There's a $5.99 on here. Okay, that's my sinus peel. Then the $8.29 on here was what? Vicks Vapor Rub. Okay, those are all taxable items. And so that added up to be $31.27. Let's see here. We subtract that from the total bill up here, $80.74 minus $31.27. equals $49.47 that we're not taxing on, okay? So it's only $31.27 that's being taxed. Now let's look at that with the tax that we paid. $2.97 divided by $31.27 equals 9.5%. So even though it's not on the receipt, they are charging 9.5% on the items that are taxable. So, and that's why out of $80.74, we only paid $2.97 in taxes, because most of this food, you're not taxing. You know, I got fruit, I got wheat bread and bananas, I got tomatoes, got sliced peaches, I got food in the can, as well as, you know, meats from Smart and Final. And what I'm trying to say is, if they're going to charge grocery taxes, now let's calculate what all of this would be. Okay, it was $83.71 is the total amount before, no, $80.74, rather, yeah, 74 cents is before taxes. If we had paid 9.5% on that total amount, we would have been paying taxes of $7.67 instead of $2.97. That's a big difference, especially when you are having financial problems already in feeding your family, and they're going to raise the taxes. Now, in our handout that they gave you, the explanation, what did I call it? Official voter information guide. I want you to read what they say that tax is on. And they do not say groceries in there anywhere. Nowhere does it indicate groceries. Now, remember, this is going to go to the general fund. They can use it any kind of way they want, and I'm having a problem with that also. But I'm having a problem if they are not telling us the truth, even in the documents that we receive, you know, from the government. Now, I'm going to say, I'm still going to vote no on this because it goes to the general funds, and I'm not certain if I'm not being misled about certain things. And after I do my, continue my research, I'll give you this information. But it did not, and I saw a clause that said it wouldn't affect individuals that receive, what is it? They didn't say food stamps, but I think it's, the new one is SNAP or something. It shouldn't affect them. Well, I don't know if that's true either. But what I do know is that most of the individuals that will be affected by this, that are receiving public assistance and things like that, are not even aware of what's going on. Many of them don't even register to vote or vote. So when your elected officials see that this is what's going on, they treat you accordingly. Now, they have a number of measures that are very important that we're going to need to talk more about. But to be honest with you, I can't understand half of the stuff that's in my little official voters information book. They have a lot of legalese in here. You have to be a lawyer to even understand it. But take your time, go through it, so you know what the proposition's about. Because we're having a lot of yes and no people. And you need to understand the pros and cons of it is what they call. Because you're going to have to vote on it. Now, for those of you that have made your minds up that you weren't going to register to vote and vote, this is how it works. If you don't vote for Hillary Clinton, or you don't vote at all, it is equivalent to voting for Donald Trump. Many of you don't understand that, but you need to do some research and do some studying yourself. Because these votes are very important, and especially if it's going to affect you, your children, the education of your children, food, you know, things that are important. You need to do your research to make a logical decision, but in the meantime, you need to be looking at your receipts a little closer, because I used to program cash registers, and I messed up one time. I messed up, and, well, more than one time. I've made a number of mistakes, but I caught myself. But one time, I had the wrong interest rate in calculating everything. But you could also come out wrong if you don't identify the products that are going to be taxed. When you're programming your cash register, you identify those products that are to be taxed or those that are non-taxed. They have to be identified depending on how you're to program that cash register. And you have to keep in mind, programmers are human as well, and they could be, they could make an error. Now, I don't know what the tax rates are for many of the stores, but it's looking like most of an even Food Max is charging 9.5% taxes on items that can be taxed. And see, I went to Food Max. Let's see, where are the non-food items? They were equivalent to, okay, the grocery items were $11. Non-grocery items were $11 and looks like 77 cents. But then when I went to see what the taxes were that they charged me, the total amount before the subtotal was $70.43. I paid $5.57 in taxes. Okay, 557 divided by $70.43. Okay, it's saying that I'm paying about 8% taxes. So that means that there are items on here that are non-taxable. And so I wasn't, because the tax come out to be 9.5% on the items that were taxable. And let's see, what do I have here? A general merchandise. Okay. That's some allergy pills, too. And I got some beer. And what is this? It's some kind of coating there. I don't know, but it's a taxable item. Well, anyway, we had, let's see, let me calculate. Taxes were $5.57. And we had $11.77 equals, okay, that, oh, I didn't do that right. I have to subtract that from the groceries. $58.66 is what the total taxable amount that I'm going to do here. It looks like it. Let's see. Okay. $5.57. I should have did this math before I got here. There it is. Okay. We had a total of $58.66 of things that were going to be taxed. And the total tax was $5.57. If you divide $5.57 by $58.66, it comes out to be 9.5% taxes. So they're charging 9.5. Taco Bell charges 9.5% taxes. Now, because this food is prepared, it's a different issue. So, we paid $1.43 in taxes, and the total bill before taxes was $15 divided by 15. I went and got one of those specials. You know, they got these $5 specials. Ooh, they got a war going on, all of these fast food places and stuff. They got a war going on, $5 war going on. Well, anyway, I went and got three of the $5 things at Taco Bell. And it cost me $15. They charged $1.43 taxes. Now, this is prepared food. So when you do that math, it comes out to be 9.5, which they charged taxes on everything. So I know you pay taxes on your food in restaurants and things. Okay, now, I went to the dollar store. And let's see how this one comes out. The total amount of taxes is $3.42 divided by $52, this is the average I'm doing now, $52.08 equals 6.5% taxes. Therefore, there's food on here somewhere that they're not taxing me for. There, okay, grapefruit juice, which we may start being taxed on if it has sugar in it. I got pecan sauce, Cracker Jacks, got a pound cake, some peanuts, cheese curls, almond joys, and sunflower seeds, things like that. They didn't tax me on these things. And once I did that math, I believe this one came out to be 9.5% also. But But anyway, I still have a load of receipts I'm going over. I still have those receipts where it says non-taxable, and it's beer and wine, and they're not charging any tax on it, at least not showing it on the receipt. I have some stores that say produce, and it's non-taxable. So they're charging everything for produce. Now, in this case, I happen to know it was all produce. Now, that's another way that they can do the non-taxable thing, saying it's produce, but when they really actually sold beer and wine and cigarettes. Now, we have a lot of that going on. I have about four or five different stores that are practicing that. Once I do my research and have finished it, I'm going to turn this information over to the city and let them know exactly what stores are doing what. And hopefully they're going to go and do a sting on them or something. I don't know. But anyway, you're going to have to learn how to calculate your own taxes, especially if they don't have the tax rate there to let you know. Now, Dee Dee's discount store tells you what your tax rate is. Now, I didn't calculate this one in. They say 9.5. I didn't calculate this one as yet. I'll let you know because I did get some food items. Let's see what the average is. And then I'll... 560 with taxes divided by the subtotal was 61.69 equal. Okay, it's saying 9% taxes. So there's, I got more items that are taxed than non-items. Let me see. I can see that right here. What is that? Okay, I got some Cracker Jacks. One of them big bags of Cracker Jacks for $2.79. Okay, that's food. I think that's the only food item. I'll check it out and I'll see. But they're saying they charge 9.5%. And it looks like most of the stores are charging 9.5%. Now, I remember when the tax changed and it said that the maximum was 9.75%. I got a receipt long time ago when that first changed that showed a 9.75. So I guess the max is that, and you don't have to charge the max. I don't know. I'll get back to you on that. But anyway, you're going to pay taxes. Now, this is Home Depot. No food is there on there at all. Which means that subtotal, when you divide it into the taxes, I got 9.5 up there. I just indicated, so I must have done that math. Looks like everybody is charging 9.5% that I've dealt with so far. You're going to have to learn how to calculate whether you're going to be paying 9.5% taxes or more. What they're saying is that for liquid beverages, they're saying it's beverages only. Something is not right with that either. They're trying to make us think that it's beverages, but they're saying that there are other things that have sugar in it that's going to be included in this. It's not clear. I'm still going to vote no on it until I am clear. And see, that's not my only issue. I don't like for it to go to the general fund. We've been having some general fund issues right here in Oakland already. We don't know where that money is going. We keep telling folks to follow the money, but we don't do that. And then when the money runs out, now you want to ask them what they did with the money. You may or may not get an answer to that question, but you should follow the money. You need to register to vote and get out there and vote. It's very important. We have a lot of, now that's one another one of the things I'm concerned about, is that we don't have any black businesses, and we used to have grocery stores and things of that nature. But we don't have any of that going on now. We have one restaurant, and I'm going to visit them. Looks like it's African American, that has put a protest ad against the grocery taxes. You know, they have an advertisement on television, and they're saying that the taxes are going to be passed down to them, and then they're going to have to pass it down to their customers. That's the way it's always been, pretty much. If they tax anyone, even the manufacturer is going to pass it on down to the wholesaler down to the retailer. Eventually, it gets to the customer. And I don't know why they won't explain this. And then at the same time, it looks like that they can spend the money, the tax money that they get on anything. It's up to the people to make up their minds how they want this to happen. And you vote on it. Now, do your research, because I will be covering more of this as we go along. Read your sample ballot and your voter information pamphlet. The election is on November 8th. You have until the 24th of October, that's this month, I believe, to register. Suggest you go on and register and vote. For those of you that are not registered to vote and are voting and are not voting, you are known. It's known. Whatever address that you are using for voting purposes is going to be used for public information. And the public information will give the street address, you know, zip code and everything of the property, will give you information about how many people are registered in that household to vote, and how many people in that household have voted. And they usually cover the last four or five elections pertaining to that household. And see, if you don't register to vote, you have nothing to complain about. There's nothing you can even hold a conversation about. Don't even call an elected official, because they're going to look it up. They're going to see that not only you didn't vote for them because you're not in their district, but you didn't vote for anybody. So why do you think that they're going to respond to your telephone call? They're not. I wouldn't blame them. You didn't hire them. So I strongly suggest that you exert all of your citizenship rights and get out there, register to vote before the 24th of this month, and then get out and vote on November 8th. Because if you don't, you will get what you deserve individually. You will. And it's sad that the people that really need to get out there and vote are the ones that are not registered to vote and voting. Now, Alameda County Social Services is doing the best that they can, I suppose, in encouraging this, because at application time, they have affidavit there, the voter registration form. They included it automatically because they already knew that the majority of the people receiving public assistance were not registered to vote and voting. Now, the workers are supposed to help them if they're not, if they don't understand the registration form. Now, before I left Alameda County, there was a big hoopla with the union pertaining to this registering people to vote. The employees said that it wasn't a part of their job description. And Alameda County let them know that that's not true. Social services is always going to be the first to call in whenever there's a disaster or there's a problem. Social services is going to be called upon. And in this time in Alameda County, we have an emergency because we have a large population of individuals that are receiving public assistance that are not registered to vote or voting. They may not really even understand how powerful the vote is, so they don't, they just leave it alone. So the only thing I can say to those of you that are receiving public assistance of any form, it doesn't matter what it is, you're going to have to get out there and let them know that you're going to vote. If not, they're going to pass laws pertaining to public assistance without even asking you. Why would they ask you? You're not registered to vote and vote. So all we have to do is sit back and change laws the way we want to change them. I indicated back in 1996, they changed a lot of laws. Nobody voted on these. They changed the fraud unit, which means that if you received any public assistance fraudulently, it's highly possible you're going to end up in jail. Go to jail. They take your kids from you. I kept telling people, they will come to your house and arrest you at your home. And if only you and the children are there, your children are going to be arrested as well. That's how they end up in the system. Under Child Protective Services, foster care, and everything. They upped the foster care system, made it fast adoption and everything. And I've said before, people have had their children adopted out all the way to another whole state. They'll never get those kids back because the laws change. You cannot, just as it used to be, you can go in and say, I'm homeless, I'm sleeping in a car, I'm sleeping in somebody's garage or stuff like that. Well, you can't do that anymore because they still gave you money. They gave you a homeless P.O. box where your mail and your checks, when they were doing the checks that way, will be at that P.O. box, and they let you know where the location is for you to pick up your money and stuff. You could be homeless. Well, you can't do that like that now because they will take your kids from you because you're not providing a nurturing and safe environment for them. You're not being responsible. They have that Responsibility Act that came out in 1996. So now, not only will they take your kids? You can go to jail for a number of reasons associated with public assistance. I said some 15 years ago, if they wanted to be real cold with public assistance, you can get your three strikes in a hurry because you're receiving three different public assistance programs support. And each of them have their own regulations, which means if they wanted to, they could zing you for three strikes you out the first time you do something. And you're receiving Medi-Cal, food stamps, the cash money, housing. All of that is income-based. You wouldn't receive it unless you weren't getting enough income each month for you to survive. You're below the poverty level, sometimes they say. Even after they give you that little money, you're still below the poverty level. But once it is determined that you do not have the income coming in and you don't have any resources, no properties or anything like that, because you have to spend all of that before you get public assistance, once they determine that you are eligible to receive these services, they'll give them to you. Now, if anything changes, you are to tell them. It's income-based. If you get money from anywhere, it used to be they tell you, when I was on welfare many, many years ago, the form said that if it was $25 or less, you didn't have to report it. Well, because people played with that $25 or less, they had to change it to, if you receive any amount of money, report it. They will determine whether it's going to affect your amount of money that you get each month. Now, the forms that you fill out today have not only all of that stuff on it, it also tells you how you're not going to be able to receive any food stamps anymore. If you have drug-related arrests or things like that, you're not eligible to receive anything. All kinds of things that have changed over the past 40-something years. That now you can end up doing 25 years for food stamp fraud. And people are not even reading the forms. It should be clear to them that the form has changed because it looks differently. But sometimes they have reworded the question. You were so used to saying, no, 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 and then signing and dating the form. And they have reworded something where you should have said yes. This is how they knew that you weren't reading those forms. You were just going down and no, 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 sign and date it and mail it back, and you'll get your check next month. Well, that doesn't work. You're going to have to start reading those forms. Many of you realize it now because you're getting caught up into potential fraud cases by not reporting certain things. And now that it's computerized, they're communicating. All the governmental agencies are communicating with each other through the computers and everything. Used to be a manual system. Everything was in handwritten. Now they have computers that have all your information on it. And they talk to each other. All governmental entities are talking to each other. especially when it comes to subsidy programs, governmental subsidy programs. For example, if you have a bank account, you didn't even tell them you had a bank account, okay? It's not that much in it. And you didn't save enough to for it to really affect you. But what they'll do is ask you for that information every year now because you've got caught. How did you get caught? You receive interest every year. That interest is report it under your Social Security number. You receive public assistance under your Social Security number. So, once the computer systems are talking to each other or information is requested or whatever, they'll have that information. A lot of people are not understanding the computerized system and how data is accumulated and maintained. They can just push a button and get everything on your life. Just flash up right there on the screen. A lot of people are not understanding that. So they're still trying to do things to defraud the system, thinking that they won't get caught. There was a rumor some while back that you were able to work for 3 months. And if you quit, you know, before that 3 months, they won't catch you. I don't know who started that rumor, but it doesn't matter if it's 1 month, 2 months, 1 week. If you were paid by an employer who reported to the IRS because they had to pay those taxes, that information is plugged into the computer, and the next thing you know, your worker is going to get a letter saying that you worked. Or you can go onto the computer and look it up, and it's going to show you worked. But the forms that you send in that makes you eligible for these public assistance didn't show anything about you working. And you only worked a month. And this is how I knew the rumor was going around, because I caught somebody. She only worked a month and she only worked a few hours. She had less than $200 gross. And she thought she wouldn't get caught, because she worked less than 3 months. And I asked her, what made her say that? Well, after she explained it to me, I saw how that was going to be confusing. At that time, Alameda County was using what was called retrospective budgeting, which means that your income will not be counted until like the third month, because the month that you work, you already received your welfare check. You turn the form in the following month, so you receive that welfare check as well. Your worker is not able to budget it until the month after that. And that means on that third month, you're going to have a short welfare check because they budgeted your money from 2 months ago to your third month. And that confused a lot of people, making them think if they could work 3 months and never get caught. No. That's not the way it go. You work anytime, and it could be for just a few hours. That money is going to catch up with you. Now, see, we have a problem with not following the money. But the government has no problem in following you and your money at all, because you got to pay some taxes or something. They're going to follow you and your money. So I strongly suggest that you start following all the monies that taxpayers are paying things for, which also includes welfare, you know, food stamps and all of that stuff. Taxpayers pay for that. Taxpayers pay for the president's salary all the way down to the lower government, the clerk or the mailroom person. Taxpayers' dollars pay those salaries. And so you're going to have to start acting like an employer when it comes to your taxpaying dollars. If you do not act like an employer, like not voting, then you're going to get an employee that you don't like, and you're going to be paying that employee out of your hard-working tax dollars. And it's going to be on you. You're going to have to act like you have some responsibilities here, not the government, like folks want to. I get so tired of hearing people thinking that the government is who's responsible for all of this. No, it's you, the person that's taxes are being paid on this. Now, for those of you that are receiving public assistance of any form that's not income-based, that means you didn't work or what have you, the taxpayers are paying for that too. Food stamps, housing, the cash money, it comes from taxpayers. And, of course, public assistance is going to be considered lowest on the totem pole. So when tax dollars are less, the first programs they're going to cut are social programs. And generally, when the Republicans get in, that's the first thing they cut are the social programs. And you think that you shouldn't vote and you receiving these monies, your programs are going to be cut. Because as long as there's a tax problem, as long as the middle class have problems like they're having right now, and it's slowly but surely building up, they lost their houses, they lost the jobs, and all of this stuff. Therefore, public assistance programs were decreased. Every month, you're going to get less money. You did not get the cost of living raise or what have you, because they do give cost of living raises associated with welfare funds. Cost of living raise isn't that very much, but a few dollars do help. Might be able to get some milk and bread or something. But you won't get those increases every year if the tax situation in this country isn't good. In fact, it's going to be decreased. As a matter of fact, I had started off giving you the budget level of what they were making some years back, and we're basically trying to, it looks like I said it was around about the 80s. They've gone back to almost about the 80s, the amount of money that they gave individual on welfare. It looks like that they have rolled back to almost like the 80s or something. They've lowered it. I'll have to, when I get back to that, I'll give you some more statistics on that. Well, it's pretty much time for me to close. I'm just going to remind you to register to vote and vote. It's about, if you're receiving public assistance, try to become self-sufficient. Get some training, get you a job, and get out of the system, because it's not going to get any better for you. Pretty much all of the programs coming out now are going to be income-based. You need to be making at least minimum wages. Your public assistance will be cut off. Knowing is not enough, we must apply. Willing is not enough, we must do. Until we meet again. I love you.